Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Would you stand together and let's just give him some more thanks for that faithfulness, Lord. So true and so faithful. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And we are thankful for that faithfulness. And you can sense it here. And whoever wrote that song was anointed. And I know the lady singing it tonight was anointed. And God's purpose is anointed. He wants us just to be reminded as though we needed another reminder, but it's good to have those reminders that the Lord is with us and He will never forsake us, fail us, or leave us. Saul was chasing David, and the story really is recorded in 1 Samuel, and he flees to a house with his wife, Michal. And the 59th Psalm is written about that encounter. It doesn't give us the details of everything that took place there, but what Psalm 59 holds for us is how David prayed and how he believed when he was being chased and his escape. He did make that escape with the help of his wife and God and God's mercy. But it was a very narrow escape. He was being hounded and targeted and attacked. And while persons in this room may not be physically attacked or hounded, but there is another kind of chasing and attacking that takes place in life today. And that can be an emotional, it can be pressure, it can be sickness, it can be many other things. But I believe David wrote that psalm for many, many reasons, but one of the reasons is so we could latch hold of it tonight. God's word is perfect and it's appropriate and it fits in every setting, including tonight's setting. So we're not pulling something out of nowhere here and just throwing it out there and hoping it works. God doesn't work that way. He has divine purpose for this service. He has divine direction for the word that He has laid upon my heart. And He has divine direction for persons that will be open to receive it. And so from that 59th division of Psalm about this encounter and David's prayer, a part of it is given in verse 10. The God of my mercy. Everyone, would you say those two words? My mercy. Let's do it again. My mercy. The God of my mercy shall prevent, and that means go ahead of me. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. In other words, God is going to turn the tables. He had not done it at that moment, but David was praying with faith. The same way that you can pray in faith tonight, God is going to turn the tables. God's for you. He's not against you. He is with us. I feel Him right by my side tonight. I feel Him. And it's not just by my side. He's with you also. And then verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength. That's unique. David calls God my strength. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. David, you're going to sing when you're being chased? Really, he was cornered in that house is what it was. They surrounded him in that situation. But David said, because I know a strength, I'm going to sing. For God is my defense. Hear me, somebody. God is not only for you, He is on your side and He is your defense tonight. And He is the God of my mercy. Woo. Thank you for helping me. He is the God of my mercy. So I'm just going to use David's possessive nature and claim and preach my mercy. My mercy. Would you praise that God that we are praising here tonight and singing about and worshiping, Lord? I praise you. I praise you for your great grace and your mercy and that your presence. I praise you supremely for that, God, that you are with us in this room tonight. You are abiding in this presence and in this environment, and you are with us. We are not alone. We're not trying to have church by ourselves, but the Holy Ghost is here. The attendant presence of the anointing of God is here, and I pray that it would enter into every one of our lives and our situations. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I won't read all of the scriptures that would be the proof text for some of my opening statements here, but you've read them many times. And that first statement is, God is a God of mercy. He is a merciful God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 31 says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. The 62nd Psalm said, unto you, O Lord, belongs mercy. I read another verse today that said, the mercy of the Lord fills the earth. It is all around us. We don't have to go far to receive the mercy of the Lord. It is all around you tonight. He is a merciful God. And then in the book of Nehemiah, the writer said, you are a God ready to pardon. Look at this. It's like God is on the starting block, and his foot is cocked back there against the block. He is ready to pardon. He is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger, of great kindness, and forsakes not. The book of Chronicles says something similar, that God is gracious and merciful. The second proof text statement I will make is, not only is he merciful, but he intends for us to be the recipients. God leaves out nobody, and I leave out no one as best I can tonight. It might be nice if I could just come and say it right face to face, or shake your hand and say it, but I don't think you need that to happen. That can't happen tonight. But you can know this. God intends for you to be a recipient of His mercy. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands. Woo. Showing mercy unto thousands. And later on in Exodus, he says the same thing. This time he says, keeping mercy. God is protecting mercy. Not to keep it from us, but to keep it for us. God is not hoarding mercy for against you or for your circumstance, but if you need His mercy, if you need His help, if you need His favor in any way or any dimension, God intends for you to be a recipient. And then in the New Testament, Peter said, in time past we weren't a people, but we are now, we are right now, hey everybody, right now, March the 1st at 7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time, right now, we are the people of God. In the past, we had not obtained mercy. But now we have obtained mercy. You are living in mercy. You are serving a merciful God. And not only that, He's ready to dispense it right now, tonight, into your life and into your situation. He is a merciful God and intends for us to be the recipients of His mercy. A couple of months ago now, in December, Brother Carden, in teaching one of our Bible class lessons, gave these definitions of mercy and grace. And sometimes we interchange those. But he said, mercy is a restrainer. It holds back God's judgment. Or it holds back the judgment that others would like to give to us. That's the mercy of God. It's only by God's mercy that all of us are still alive. And I'm talking physically, but I'm even talking spiritually. Aren't you glad that the first mistake you made spiritually, God didn't say, that's it, and send a lightning bolt down or a flame of fire in and say, that's it. Mercy holds back God's judgment. I just know about this guy right here. There has been enough done in my life where God could have judged it in many ways, but mercy holds it back. Now, grace, Brother Carden mentioned, is a compeller. It moves God to act on behalf of those who He has shown mercy to or for. Mercy, another set of definitions, said mercy is holding back by God what we really deserve. That's mercy. And grace is getting what we don't really deserve. The gifts of God, the grace of God, the blessings of God. But mercy is God holding back what we really deserve, judgment or punishment, or maybe what others feel. Aren't you glad you don't always receive what others think you ought to receive? Amen. Especially when your wife gets mad at you. Praise God. And she don't, and the rest of them don't, hardly at all. I just threw that in just in case. I'm trying to climb out of trouble right now, as you can see. David was a recipient of God's mercy. And when I first wrote these notes, I wrote it all through his lifetime. But then I stopped and thought about his pedigree and his heritage. And I had to add, even before his birth, Rahab of Jericho was David's great-great-grandmother. And you can trace the lineage. David's great-great-grandmother was Rahab, who was a harlot in the city of Jericho. She hid the spies, and they said, if you'll leave that scarlet cord hanging out your window down that wall, and you and your family will stay in the house. Stay in the church, folks. If you'll stay in the house, you will be saved. The rest of Jericho will not be spared. But if you will put that scarlet cord, man, when swords are flying, and arrows are flying and walls are falling down, if you will extend that cord, if you'll be obedient to what the men of God tell you, the mercy of God is going to save you, Rahab, out of all of those. That was David's great-great-granny. David was a recipient of the mercy of God before he was ever born. He's not the only one. Woo! He's not the only one. Every one of us have a heritage of the mercy of God. Woo! Woo! We didn't get here. We're not strutting in here tonight. It's the mercy that got us here. And it's those great gifts of grace that got us here. And even before we could experience it in our lifetime. And then you just keep tracing David's life. The lion and the bear, according to nature, David should have been killed, but mercy prevented it. Goliath, by experience and by size and ability, that which was bigger than David, and you're facing something, hear me somebody, hear me, it's going to save you some worry this week, if you'll realize whatever that is that's bigger than you, mercy can take care of it and prevent that thing from slaying you. In fact, I say it, you're going to slay it. Hear me, somebody. You pray, you fast, you put the name of the Lord on it, and you're going to defeat whatever is trying to defeat you. That was a little weak. I'm not looking for volume tonight. I'm looking for faith. Whatever is trying to defeat you, that Goliath, he is bigger than you, but he's not bigger than God. Quit measuring. Here in Psalm 59, mercy prevented Saul and his men from cornering David. Watch this mercy of God. Fornication with Bathsheba. And when he repents, he starts the opening line in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God. God will forgive fornication. God will forgive immorality. Man may not, but God will. God will forgive unfaithfulness. God and his mercy. And then, tied into that story is this. It gets even more complex. And if you'd let it, and there may have been some looking on when they finally found out everything, that looking on, not only did he commit fornication with the man's wife, but he had the man killed. He did him dirty. He wasn't fair. He was mean. He was evil. He contrived it. He planned it. He said, put him at the front where there's such a good chance because of his vulnerability that he is going to be killed. But mercy. Mercy. No wonder David said, my mercy. With that pillow. Whew. We need to claim it tonight. No wonder David was hugging mercy. No wonder David was grabbing a hold of it. He was forgiven of murder. He was forgiven of fornication. He was spared in Goliath's battle. He was spared with the lion and the bear. He's got all of those testimonies. But I just want to say this, and I know this may not even ring true to you, but I'm going to tell you, you've got just as powerful as testimonies as David had. We don't have the same ones, but it was the same God and the same mercy, and we would have been just as destroyed as he would have been. But you've got mercy. Claim it tonight. My mercy. David said, my mercy. Woo. Anybody thankful for how the Lord has brought you to him? I think we ought to lift our voices and lift our hands. Maybe let tears fall down. Oh God, I never want to take you for granted. I never want to take it for granted, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. David needed mercy. David received mercy, and David claimed mercy. When he used that phrase, my mercy, in there, and I backed up the first time I read it, I wanted to make sure first that I was seeing it right, and then I read all the context to make sure that I was understanding it right. David wasn't owning the mercy in the sense, it's what I did, or I'm the source, or I deserve it. But rather, he was owning it as in saying, God intended this for me, and I'm going to take it. God made this mercy for me, and I'm going to enjoy it. Somebody that the enemy, ooh, my Lord, the enemy is messing with you and will not let you enjoy life or enjoy God or enjoy the Spirit of God. You need to claim the mercy of God. God intended me to have life and that more abundantly, that blessed life that we heard about today. Do you believe that? Would you mind clapping your hands to the Lord? I feel like we just need to demonstrate something tonight. We need to celebrate this. You intended it, God. You intended it, God. Woo. So I say tonight, I preach. I wish I had a stronger word than encourage, but that would fit. But I challenge you tonight, claim his mercy. Claim it for yourself. Declare it. Own it. If you can write a verse, you can write one like David. My mercy. My mercy. Believe it and own it and receive it. There is mercy for you. And I'm saying to somebody, and I feel like somebody reaching for the pillow tonight. I feel like somebody's reaching for the mercy, and the Spirit of the Lord's going to help you and your brothers and sisters. There is faith in it. It is all, oh, it is up and down every pew. There is such connection with the Word of the Lord right now. Your brothers and sisters are going to help you. But if you'll just reach out and claim the mercy of God, say, that's my mercy. That's going to be my healing. That's going to be my salvation. That's going to be my family saved. That's going to be my anointing. There is mercy for you in your situations. It's yours. God is not waiting to vent anger against you. He's not waiting to show his disappointment or his disgust. Mercy is the exact opposite of that mindset or behavior. What makes mercy mercy is this. We get mercy because of him and not because of us. Because of his love. Because of his goodness. Not because we deserve it. We've already admitted that. We're all in the same boat, which would be sinking if it wasn't for the mercy of God. Not that we deserve it, nor because we are mistake-free, are perfect. He, it's mercy. That's what mercy's about. He loves us, and he holds back what we may rightfully deserve. Somebody just needs to, I know we beat ourselves up so many times. And I'm not giving a free pass for sin here. You understand that. I'm just saying I think the greatest battle is not so much repenting of sin, but getting ourselves to that point where we quit beating ourselves up and believe that that's my mercy. That's my mercy. You know, when you have a surgery, especially in your midsection, and they give you a pillow. I'm going to tell you what, it works. It don't take the pain away, but there's something about it. When you're hurting, when you've been wounded, when you've had to have something taken out or put in. Oh, when you sneeze. Oh, my Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy. And you just hold that pillow there and it feels better. When you're hurting, there's a pillow of mercy. When you've been cut on, when you've gone through the situation, the sickness or whatever it is, hold on to it. I just want to tell you tonight, he intended it for you. the best way I know to say it is, your mercy has your name on it. I'm not a big repeat phrases preacher. In fact, sometimes I get a little uncomfortable. I feel like doing it tonight. Just play along with me, would you? His mercy has my name on it. Would you mind saying that with me? His mercy. I know we're just saying words right now, but there's an anointing in this place right now. His mercy has my name on it. That's why I can speak possessively in that pronoun. My mercy. Mine. Little kids get to bickering about something. One has it and the other one wants it. Mine. Well, I think we need to have the same intensity, maybe not the same tone of spirit. I know I got some parents agreeing with me right here. But the same intensity. And when it comes to the devil, I don't care too much how you talk to him, except don't cuss him. But I'm going to tell you, somebody needs to get aggravated at the enemy tonight and say, it's mine. You're not taking my mercy. I've been forgiven of that sin. I put that under the blood. And whether or not anybody else has forgiven me, God has forgiven me. It's mine. It's mine. It's my mercy. I'm forgiven. My sins are cleansed. My life's been whitewashed. Come on, somebody. I just want to tell you, that's good preaching right there. You ought to say amen or something. Woo! God. He's got your name on it. I'm not going to read your mail tonight. I'm going to read my mail tonight. I have never went to the mailbox, gotten it out, and this one says, Stephen Williford. I kind of prefer Steve, but technically and legally, it's Stephen. Sometimes it's Stephen. I had it happen the other day. Just as long as they don't call me Stephanie. Well, this one's, oh, this is good. This is Reverend Stephen Williford. Come on now. Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Chick-fil-A and a young boy from one of our area churches, it was a pastor's son, was there working at Chick-fil-A over on Manchester. And he recognized me. I recognized him. And so he, and it's while I was serving the district superintendent. So he says, I thought he was just talking about everyday conversation and when we would meet in the street or at a church service. He said, Brother Williford, what should I call you? Well, I was thinking superintendent, pastor, whatever. So I said, just pastor is okay if you want. Just pastor is okay. Well, what I forgot is, at Chick-fil-A, they call your name out. So when the order is ready, Pastor. So everybody in the building think that guy really enjoys his title. He wants everybody to know. Thank you very much. That reverend reminded me of that. I'm glad I got notes tonight. I'm going to need to. Holy Ghost has got some notes tonight. And we're on it right now. So I've never stood there, pulled it out of the mailbox. Now when I pull the wrong piece of mail out that's addressed to somebody else, we mark it and put it back in there or take it to the person. But any of them that has Stephen or Becky, we still get stuff for Amber and Andrea, but that's all part of the family. But mine, I've never stood there and say, you know, I don't know if I should take this in or not. I don't know if I should open that or not. I mean, it says Stephen Williford, but is that really mine? That mail has my name on it. His mercy has your name on it. That means you can go ahead and open it tonight. Go ahead and open it. And I'm going to tell you, there's some things we hesitate to open, don't we? You know what I'm talking about. But then when we get a card and we recognize the address, and it's from somebody we love and we know, I'm going to tell you, I open it before I get back to the garage. I try to balance this out. If it says Steve and Becky, I'd say, well, I don't want to spoil the surprise, so I'll let Becky open it, whatever. But the other day I opened one, babe. You were gone. So I felt it was my duty. We're laughing, but the truth is, everybody in here, God knows your address. Sometimes we say that kind of in fear, but I say it tonight in favor. He knows your address. He knows right where you're living right now. He knows right what you're going through. He knows what's going around your home and around your life and around the temple that you are. He knows all about it. And he said, I've got some mail for you. It's got your, hear me everybody, it's got your name on it. You don't have to stand out there by the mailbox and wonder whether or not I'm talking to you or God's talking to you. He is talking to you right now. He's got his mercy. He's got your name on his mercy. That's why we're saying, that's my mail. That's my mail. That's my mercy. Because he's my God. He's my Lord. The writer said in Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. That word compassion there has as its root a word that is a reference for the womb of a mother. What God was illustrating is the way God and his creative genius created the womb and the birth process so that fragile cells, just a few of them at first, could begin to form, and a very delicate and defenseless life could develop and grow and do so in a protected environment where that little helpless thing could be nourished and cherished by its surroundings. With that same protection and gentle care, God's saying, my compassion, that's the way I'm looking after you. I tell you, isn't life and birth, it's a genius. How all of that takes place, it's a genius. How that fetus forms in the womb and it's protected. And that little life, and that's why abortion is so cruel. And I've seen just a few clips of a response of that fetus, or that little life that began to form. Because it's so defenseless, and it's so helpless. God said, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that's protected. And I will tell you that people that are violating that line are in great danger. Because God in his creative genius said, I want to form a place where something that is so helpless can be helped. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand or even make any verbal, but I just want to ask this for your consideration. How many times have you felt so helpless? And while I feel the help and the hope of God in here, I do sense a helplessness. We can't do anything about it. What can that little fetus do? What can it do? It can't do anything. It's at the mercy of whatever is around it. And God said, well, if you're at my mercy, I'm going to protect you in that mama's womb, and I'm going to make sure you get the nourishment you need, and I'm going to make sure you get the protection you need. And then eventually, 9 months later, comes out that precious little life that God has protected. That's what he was saying when he said, because his compassions fail not. His compassions, they do not fail. And he said, his mercy is new every morning. Whew. New. Here's why. Because every day calls for us to face something different or face that same thing in a different context. God said, I've got a strain for that virus. I've got an antidote for that situation. And speaking of virus, I just want to say, God is greater than the coronavirus. And there is fear that is spreading our world. And I'll just be honest with you, that we all know this. The media is not helping things. I'm not setting it aside. I'm not saying there's nothing to it. I'm just saying here's where we as the people of God have to be careful. And we can help even our children and others that may be fearful. We've got a God that is greater. Let's cultivate awareness. But let's also cultivate faith and not fear. Don't breed fear. Don't speak negatively. We have a God that is a healer of all sicknesses and all diseases. And he said in the last days there would be famines and pestilences and everything else. But there is a God, and his mercies are new every morning. Nothing takes God by surprise. Not only that virus, but anything else that you may be facing. His compassion and his mercies do not fail. You have not been left. I have not been forsaken. God has not changed his mind about you. His love and his mercy is stronger than the power of sin. If you're praying for somebody that needs to be delivered, his grace and his mercy is greater than the powers of sin. His compassion and his mercy fail not. The literal translation is, they never come to an end. They never expire. They never cease. And even if the person has run the other direction, his compassion and mercy does not fail. Somebody ought to claim the salvation of your loved one right now. Claim it. Go ahead and pray it right now. Claim it. His compassion and his mercy fail not. By the way, even if they haven't claimed the mercy of God, you can claim it for them at this point. My mercy. God, my mercy covers my boy. My mercy covers my grandfather. My mercy covers my parent. My mercy covers my loved one. My mercy covers that schoolmate. My mercy covers my family. It's greater. New every morning. New every morning. Praise God. God delivers on time, doesn't he? I tell you, the Postal Service does a great job. I've gotten most of the mail I was supposed to get. Really, I'm serious. Now, there may be a few pieces that get way late, and usually we're a little day later. It's the route we're on, we're a day later than some other folks, but I get it. They've got that other stuff called express delivery or special delivery. And if I need to get it there, and if you're in need of something, God's got special delivery for you. Listen, we just have to put our faith in him. We got something looming and we're coming closer to it and it's coming closer to us and we wonder how's that going to work out. God's got expedited delivery. He's got better than overnight delivery. Whew. All you have to say is, in the name of Jesus. When that van we were in was spinning down that highway going sideways, we couldn't wait for overnight. It had to be right then and there, and God's hand of protection was right there. He knows how. It's my mercy. My mercy. I'm going to tell you about something. I'm closing here. I'm going to tell you about an incident where I felt helpless, where I felt like my life was being aborted. There are just times we feel helpless, and we all have times of strength, but there's just times when all of us feel helpless. It was in my sophomore year of high school. I was attending a high school, and things began to change. And so one day, like I did every other day, I went back into where my locker was, and it was in the back part of the basement, back there. And that was made vulnerability because not a lot of people came back there except if those whose lockers were back there. And there was a boy who had gotten in trouble at school. I didn't get him in trouble. I don't even know the boy. But he had a friend with him, and that friend grabbed me. He was behind me, and he grabbed me so that his arms were around me. And the other one just took out his frustration on being kicked out of school and hit and beat. I was hurt somewhat. It wasn't critical. But I tell you what was hurt. My confidence. And fear started rising up in me. I would not go to that part of the building. I let fear take a hold of me. I was trying to pray, and people were praying for me. But I felt so helpless. I was helpless when the man was holding me. I was helpless after that point. People came to my aid, especially my parents and my family and others. Ben wanted to go up there and get him. That wouldn't have been the best thing to do, probably. Although that idea, I didn't rebuke it right away. I'm talking about feeling helpless. We've all been there. But he said, my compassions are around you. Like that little helpless fetus. And whatever is trying to abort the will of God in your life, or abort your faith, or abort your faithfulness to God, or your confidence, you've got his mercy. Would you stand with me right now? I want you to claim it tonight. You can come up here, you can kneel where you are, you can stand where you are. The important thing will not be your geographical location tonight, but it will be your hands, your spiritual hands reach and said, that's my mercy. God, your mercy is my mercy. You intended this for me. I rebuke it. I'm not mad at you when I rebuke this, but I'm mad at that spirit that has tried to keep you from claiming God's goodness and his favor and his love. He does love you. He does love you. And you can take it. My mercy. For whatever you're going through. I want you to begin to come. If there's family situations that you need. Or if it's a personal, if it's a physical situation. Or if it's a financial situation. Or you just feel help. I know there are many people that are doing everything you can do. You're not being lazy about this. You're doing what you can do. But God can come to your aid and be your helper right now. You can clutch the pillow of his mercy. Even while you're still hurting. Even while you're still dealing with the circumstance and the situation. Yes, he is that faithful God. He's that faithful God. Yes, you are. Claim it tonight. Come on. That's right. Claim it. Don't leave it lying. Don't just leave it there. Don't leave your piece of mail. It's got your name on it. Yes, it's a message for you. It's a message for you. God, you can see us through this family trauma. God, you know all about it. I can't figure it out. I've tried to figure it out. I've tried to work it out. I've tried, Lord. Yes. But Lord, you're with us. Your mercy is there. Your compassions are surrounding us. Your compassions are protecting us. Your compassions are nurturing us. Yes, you can, Lord. You do, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.